Come on up. We're glad to have you here. Thanks for being here for our children's message today. Well, in my sermon, I want you to listen very closely because you're going to be hearing about how God gives us all gift of time. And we don't always look at time that God gives us as a gift, but it truly is. Every moment of our lives is God's gift to us. And now God wants us to use that time. Use it wisely. And you're doing that by coming to church right now. Well done. Well, we're going to talk about God's gift of time, and I want you to remember God's gift of time is a lot like what I have in this bag. Wow. Do you know what this is? It's M&Ms, but not just any M&Ms. This, my friend, is peanut M&Ms. The best candy ever, isn't it? But if you think about it, our time is a lot like these M&Ms. Well, how? Do you know how many M&Ms are in here? How many M&Ms do you think are in there? There's a lot. Mrs. Alehoffen let me get the big one this time. I have lots of people coming to my house for Christmas. You know what? I don't know either. Yeah, 100? I don't know how many M&Ms are in here. Just like we don't know how much time God gives us. Right? We never know. And secondly, have you ever eaten M&Ms and they're so good, but all of a sudden they're gone? Has that ever happened to you? And you wonder, where do they go? Isn't that a lot like time? You spend your time in the day, maybe at home or with grandma or grandpa, and your time just goes away, right? In other words, you need to be wise in how you spend them, right? And you know what? The best thing M&Ms are, the best thing that you can use your M&Ms for is to share them, right? Makes everybody put a smile on their face. And I'm sorry I can't share these today. It's sealed. But if you come back here on Christmas Eve, we can give you Christmas bags. But you know what? We want to share our time and serve God to thank Him for not just giving us gifts like M&Ms, but giving us all of our blessings. And Jesus didn't just spend M&Ms on us. He spent His time with us to save us from our sins. That's why Jesus came, because He loves us. And He shows He loves us by sometimes giving us M&Ms, but by showing us His love from the manger to the cross to the empty tomb. Let's thank Jesus for His gifts of candy and of our time. Dear Jesus, thank You for giving us our gifts every single day, especially the gift of time. Forgive us those times we haven't used our time wisely, and instead, Lord, change us by the power of Your Spirit. Let us appreciate the time and the M&Ms that You give us every day, and let us be wise in how we use them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please stand if you can. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every spiritual blessing. The Word of God for this fourth and final Sunday of Advent and the Stewardship Sunday is recorded for us in the Action Gospel of St. Mark, reading from chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. We're going to hear in the miracle of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law three reasons why Jesus heals us. Listen to God's gift of time, how He wants us to use His gift of time in these words. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So He went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for Him, and when they found Him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is God's word. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, given the gift of time, a Sunday school class was once asked the following questions, and these were their answers. Why did God create your mom? The answers? Because she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. God created my mom mostly to clean. What did your mom need to know about your dad before they got married? Answer, does he make more than $800 a year? Does he say no to drugs and yes to chores? What does your mom do in her spare time? Answer, my mom doesn't do spare time. To sum it up in the minds of children and the minds in reality, yes, moms exist to serve their families, and they love it. Just ask them. Oh, maybe not when a child is screaming bloody murder. Maybe not when a child is covered with strawberry jam, but it's hardwired into their nature. What's the hardest thing that can happen to a family? Oh, it's when mom gets sick, and what happens? Either the house is in chaos, or everything in the house shuts down. Now you know what was going on in Simon Peter's house, the disciple. In our reading from Mark chapter 1, the Bible tells us very clearly that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Her fever was so bad that Scripture says that she couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't help her family, couldn't even go to worship at synagogue that day. But earlier in the day, Jesus and his disciples were in worship at synagogue. For the Bible tells us right before our reading, Jesus was preaching. He was teaching about God, but he also did something else amazing. He did what no one else could do by performing a miracle in casting out a demon. And immediately afterwards, Scripture says that Jesus and his disciples walked to Peter's mother-in-law's home. Now, some of you might be thinking, typical man. Here the woman of the house is sick, and they still come over for supper. Well, you need to know that it was customary for people to have a special Sabbath meal. Jesus didn't go over there for a free lunch. The Bible tells us how Mark records it so tenderly. They told Jesus that she was sick, and what did Jesus do? He tenderly goes to her, takes her by the hand, helps her up, and the fever that she had been suffering from just vanished. The one who cast out a demon from a stranger now cast out the fever from Peter's mother-in-law. You know, I bet Peter never forgot how that happened. Here's the point. What did this lady do when she was healed? She didn't declare herself to be the queen of Capernaum and demand to be waited upon. Oh no, that's not what she did. She didn't even leave the house. Scripture tells us that the fever left her and she began to wait on them. She was healed. And her first question was, now what can I make these nice boys for lunch? She used the gift of health to serve Jesus any way that she could. She wanted to thank Jesus for what she had been given, and so she did. Now you know why God gives us our gift of time. God gives us our health, our wealth, our education, our time, talents, and treasures, so that we would use that time as a gift from God and also use it wisely. But I'm certain there's someone here in this room right now that's thinking, you know, I've never been healed by Jesus. Oh, that's probably true. If your only definition to being healed by Jesus means you have terminal cancer one week, and the next week your scan comes back clean. But I find it interesting that we're here in God's house right now. Oh, we may not be feeling the best right now in our school. Boy, there's an epidemic that's hitting of illnesses, but we're still here. Why is that? Oh, sure, we've had to deal with broken bones, but they've healed. Many of us haven't had to deal with cancer. Most of us got a pretty good night's sleep last night. Oh, sure, we get colds, flu, maybe even COVID, but we're fine now. So who healed us? Oh, it's not just our doctors, and they're great here in New Ulm. I know I've needed them. It's not just Walgreens. It's not just our own immune system, is it? It's what we tell our little children when they get sick. Seriously, moms, what do you tell your children when they get sick? Pray to Jesus, and he'll make you better. Yes, Jesus heals us in ways that we can see and ways that we can't. But why does he do that? Well, in our reading today, I'm going to share with you three reasons why Christ heals us. The first, what does God want us to do with the time that we've been given? Why does Jesus heal us? It's so that we can serve. We can serve God with the time that we've given. Go all out. Go all in. Serve the one who cares for us. Well, to do anything else would be to waste God's gift of healing. Suppose you were in the hospital or maybe just struggling with some physical ailment, and someone would ask you, why do you want to get better? So how would you answer that? Oh, I have a few ideas. I want to get better so I can watch more Netflix. That didn't sound right. I want to get better so I can go to work and make more money. No, not quite. Oh, I want to get better so I can spend more time with my family. Now, all of those things clearly are gifts from God, but none of those are Bible answers. I want to get better so I can serve Jesus. There you have it. That is God's plan for us. Oh, but there's more to the story why God heals you and me. He heals us because he cares about us. He cares about our physical condition. Jesus cares how you feel right now. And Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. Now, it's true. Sometimes God allows pain to hang around in our lives. Did you ever wonder why? Oh, even though he cares about us, how we feel, and God, Jesus knows we live in this sin-broken world where sickness will happen, why does he allow it? Well, sickness and pain shows us our need for God. Pain can turn us around when we've forgotten him. Pain as a way of keeping us, reminding us that we don't belong here in this world, that we need something more. Pain keeps us from just being satisfied with this world, but instead reaches out for the one that truly satisfies, and it's not a Snickers bar. Jesus. Jesus is the one that truly satisfies. And if you know that, you and I are so blessed for knowing that. Not everybody does. I mean, not everybody knows that the one who's the Son of God left his home in heaven to be willing to spend 33 years of pain here in this world, of not just inconvenience, not just because Jesus had nothing better to do. It's because he knew that we'd be lost if he wouldn't come. And he had to deal with sickness all around him, pain of people he loved. In fact, Jesus even was willing to go to the cross where Jesus had those nails being driven into his hands, how he had to go to the cross and cry out, why have you forsaken me, God? That's the God who came to rescue you and me. By God's grace, we know that pain leads us to Jesus, who loves us and promises to not just look out for us now, but promises that he's earned the way to heaven for us. But also look what happened in our sermon reading. Pain leads us to Christ. How? Look what it did for all those other people in our reading. The Bible says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Now, can you imagine Peter being at the door when he hears a knock? And they ask him inside, "Hey, Peter, who is it?" And Peter answers, "It's the whole town." Why did the whole town show up where Jesus was? Oh, remember what had happened earlier that day. Jesus had healed a demon-possessed man, and many people saw it. But you also need to remember that on the Sabbath day, we're talking about devout believers of God. Remember in the Old Testament? The Old Testament forbid anyone to walk more than to synagogue and to back home. There were lots of people who saw what Jesus did and then thought to himself, could he? Would he help my mom or dad who's suffering? Could he, would he help my kids or my friends when no one else can? No, we can't go yet because it's the Sabbath. But let's wait at the door because the sun's gonna go down and then we can go. But remember, it wasn't 2022 AD like it is today. It was 31 AD. The people there didn't have the evening news that would tell them what had happened. There was a healing today down at the synagogue. They didn't have social media and status updates about what was going on. No news about Jesus had already spread like wildfire. Many people came to see Jesus and wanted to see Jesus. Why? Because pain does that. We're familiar with that, aren't we? I mean, it's Sunday morning. Isn't that how you were this morning? It's not like you had to come to church. You wanted to come to church. You wanted to hear God's word because you and I have been carrying around a week's worth of stress, of worry, of having so much to do for Christmas and just going crazy. Maybe that guilt has loaded you down and we've looked forward to spending time in worship. But you know what we find something surprising in worship? It's not what we do for God so much as how God, what God does for us. In a worship service, Jesus serves us. Again, Mark records it so beautifully what Jesus did for the people then. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. That's what Jesus does. He helps. He blesses our gift of time, but he also cares about our physical needs, and Jesus heals us 99% of the time. Oh, but now there's that 1%, you probably heard it. And we think to ourselves, well, the devil wants you to think. See, Jesus doesn't care about you. Why does God allow pain into our lives and why does he finally remind us that one day that is gonna end up in death for all of us? Because Jesus wants to take us to a place that's much better than anything in this world. Jesus' plan is to take us to heaven. He cares about our physical condition, but he cares even more about our souls. He wants it so badly for us that he was willing to die on the cross and rise again from the grave to show us that death couldn't hold him, and death's not gonna hold you or me or any of those Christian loved ones either. Yes, God, that's Jesus' plans for us, but he also tells us a third reason why he heals us. He heals us because he cares about our spiritual condition. Listen to what happened next. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Don't miss this point. Jesus was up in the evening, healing and helping to goodness knows what hour of the night. If there was ever anybody who deserved to be able to sleep in, it was Jesus. And yet he doesn't sleep in. What does he do? Very early in the morning, he gets up and he prays. What did Jesus pray about? What was his all-consuming passion? You. Me. He prayed. He prayed that God would bless us with gift of time and that we would use that time wisely. What a comforting thought. I pray you see what's happening here. Not only is Jesus spending time praying for all those times I forgot to pray and you forgot to pray, for all those times we said, no, we got it, Jesus. We don't need to talk to you. Oh, Jesus made up for all of our sins. But he also was giving us a wonderful example to do. What's the first thing we should do in our day? Pray. Oh, Jesus didn't have time to pray. He made time to pray. And now Jesus is giving us a model of faith of what to do with our time. Jesus heals us for a very specific reason, so we would depend on God for everything. Yes, he heals us so that we can serve, but so that we can be served by his word. And finally, when his disciples finally chase him down and say, "Hey, Jesus, there's more people to heal," how did Jesus answer? Well, the Bible says, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Why did Jesus come? Did he come to be a superstar faith healer? No. Jesus came to walk the way of the cross because he loves you and me. And now he teaches us that we need to plan. How are we going to use our gift of time? My friends, this day, this week, right before Christmas, when you have so much to do, remember why God's given us our gift of time, so that we can serve Jesus. Yes, that is why he heals us. Think about mom. Thank mom for what she's doing. But the next time there's sickness in your house, remember to pray. But also remember who to pray to, Jesus. And remember why he heals us. It's a game changer. Amen. We'll continue our service with the stewardship thought. You'll see a video produced by our assimilation team talking about how you are the face of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Mike, a member of St. Paul's. Have you thought lately about how you are the face of Jesus? In the Bible, people can see Jesus through its accounts and descriptions of Jesus. But you are the face of Jesus as he lives in you through faith and blesses your life. When we think about Jesus, one thing we can't miss is how he welcomed people, even strangers and social outcasts. Think of how he invited Matthew, a hated tax collector, into his circle of disciples. Consider how he loved and talked to the rich young ruler who wanted to justify himself before Jesus. Remember how he reached out to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well? Although he is the Son of God, Jesus wanted people to feel welcome and reached out to them. How do you react when you see an unfamiliar face at church? Do you look away? Do you avoid? Jesus would want you to reach out to them and welcome them. They are precious to him. He died and rose again to save them. When you encounter someone unfamiliar to you at church, remember how Jesus welcomed you into his family, even though he had every reason not to? Smile, give a warm hello, introduce yourself, and then tell them, "Welcome to St. Paul's, we're happy you're here, and Jesus is too." Remember, you are the face of Jesus.